Text number 2. Sahasrapatra Kamalam, Gokulakyam Mahatparam, Tatkarnikaram Tadhama Tadanantam Shasam Bhavam. The spiritual place of transcendental pastimes of Krishna is portrayed in the second verse. The super excellent station of Krishna, which is known as Gokula, has thousands of petals and a corolla like that of a lotus sprouted from a part of his infinitary aspect. The whirl of the leaves being the actual abode of Krishna. Karanath Prabhu?
Purport. Gokula, like Goloka, is not a created mundane plane. Unbounded character forms the display of his unlimited potency and his propagating manifestation. Baladev is the mainstay of that energy. The transcendental entity of Baladev has two aspects, namely, infinite spiritual manifestation and infinite accommodating space for insentient gross things. The uniquadrantal delineation of material universe will be dealt with in the proper place. The triquadrantal extensions of the transcendental infinitary field of the Almighty, unlamenting, non-perishing, and non-apprehending unlimited situations of halo, which are fully spiritual, majestic foliation. This very majestical extension portrays the manifested lofty rich feature of the vaster unlimited region or greater atmosphere, which has its resplendent location wholly beyond the realm of mundane nature on the further shore of Viraja, surrounded by the halo of Brahman or indistinguishable entity. This majestical power of unlimited spirit emanates on the upper portion of the luminous sphere into the most charming Gokula or eternally existing Goloka, exceedingly beautified by the assorted display of effulgence. Some designate this region as the abode of the Supreme Narayana, or the original fountainhead. Hence, Gokula, which is identical with Goloka, is the supreme plane. The same sphere shines as Goloka and Gokula, respectively, by its upper or transcendental and lower or mundane situation. Sri Sanatana Goswami has told us as follows in his Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which embodies the final essence of all the books of instructions. He displays his pastimes here in this land as he used to do in Goloka. The difference between the two planes lies only in their locations as high and low. That is, in other words, Krishna plays exactly the same part in Goloka as he exhibits on the mundane plane of Gokula. There is practically no difference between Gokula and Goloka, save that this is what exists in the shape of Goloka in the upper region, save that this what exists in the shape of Goloka in the upper region is the same as Gokula on the mundane plane when Krishna showed his various activity there. Sri Jiva Goswami has also inculcated the same in the Bhagavat Sandarbha of his 6 treatises. To ascertain the plane of Goloka, Vrindavan is the eternal abode of Krishna, and Goloka and Vrindavan are identically one. And though both are identical, yet Krishna's inconceivable energy has made Goloka the acme of this spiritual kingdom, and Gokula of Mathura province forming a part of the mundane plane, which is also a manifestation of triquadrantal vibhuti, conducting majesty. Poor human understanding cannot possibly make out how the extensive triquadrantal, which is beyond human comprehension, can be accommodated in the limited nether material universe of a uniquadrantal disclosure. Gokula is a spiritual plane, hence his condescended position in the region of material space, time, etc., is in no way restricted, but unlimitedly manifested with his full boundless propriety. But conditioned souls are apt to assert a mere material conception in regard to Gokula by their miserable senses so as to bring him below the level of their intellect. Though the eye of an observer is impeded by a cloud when gazing at the sun, and though the tiny cloud can never really cover the sun, still the clouded vision apparently observes the sun as covered by the cloud. In just the same way, the conditioned souls, with their obscured intelligence, senses, and decisions, accept Gokula as a piece of measurable land. We can see Gokula from Goloka, which is eternal. This is also a mystery. The attainment of final beatitude is the success in attaining one's eternal self. The success in identifying the true self is finally achieved when the screen of gross and subtle coils of conditioned souls is removed by the sweet will of Krishna. However, the idea of Goloka is seen to differ from Gokula till the success in unalloyed devotion is achieved. The transcendental plane of infinite spiritual manifestation, having thousands of petals and corolla like those of a lotus, is Gokula, the eternal abode of Krishna.
So Prabhupada told us that the only reason we cannot see Gokula Vrindavan is that we have an obstruction in our eye. But by following the process of given by the Goswamis and through the process of sadhana bhakti that they've given and association with pure devotees and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam in their association, then that obstruction can be removed. And as the Rama Sanghita says, Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santak sadaiva hrideyeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham vajami. Then when one's eyes tinged with the salve of love, then one can clearly see that the realm of Gokula is none different from Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also taught this as one of the main tenets of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. One of the main tenets of his teaching is that Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world, and Gokula Vrindavan are none different. They're the same. And so, in this purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is also saying that this can be revealed to the sincere soul by the practice of pure devotional service. And that, all the secrets of Krishna's realm and his personal activities can be revealed to someone who submissively engages in his service, and he can reveal himself. Ata Shri Krishna nana nama adi nabhaved grayam indriyai sevan mukhi jivado swayam evam spuratyada. And this process begins with a very simple thing, controlling the tongue by engaging it in service, by speaking about Krishna, taking remnants of food offered to Krishna, and chanting Hare Krishna. Then by controlling that one sense, Krishna becomes pleased and he'll reveal himself to the devotee. It's important for us to become attached to the holy Dhamma of Vrindavan. One of the aspects of advancement in devotional service is to always hanker to live in Vrindavan. And these temples, Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna is present here. The recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam is going on, association of devotees, all the activities of devotional service go on here exclusively within these walls. And therefore, the temples are also holy dhams and extensions of Vrindavan as well. So those who are making advancement in devotional service hanker to live in the association of devotees and hanker to live in Vrindavan. And they abhor other places. Let's go on vacation. Where to? How about, Belize? Well, there's no temple in Belize. Well, then I don't want to go. But the beaches are so nice, and the weather is so nice, and nothing is attractive if Krishna isn't there for the devotee. And the pinnacle of all attraction is in Gokula. And so we should cultivate that attraction as well. The Prabhupada encouraged us to come to Vrindavan. When the first group of devotees came to Vrindavan with Prabhupada, he brought them there personally, and they came there. One of my godbrothers and friends who was there one of the first times told me, his name's Madhavananda Das, and he told me that first thing they came to Prabhupada said, what should we do? And Prabhupada said, wander. So they wandered. And, Vrindavan's such a magical place that anyone can feel the effect of Vrindavan. And just setting foot in Vrindavan is very purifying, just to go to see the land of Vrindavan and touch its feet. When I was in Vrindavan about 4 years ago during Purushottam Mas, it was very close to the time of Kartik, and I was there were millions of people there. I've never seen so many people in Vrindavan. I don't think anybody else has ever seen so many people in Vrindavan, because more people come during Purushottam because there's special benediction given in the Shastra for being in Vrindavan. But this Purushottam was close to the time of Kartik, so many more millions of people were there at that time. And one day I was walking back to the Krishna Balaram Mandir, and I saw these two European lads walking along with backpacks on, tennis shoes, Hare Krishna. And so they looked a little bewildered. And so I approached them and I said, "How are you?" And they said, "Fine." And I said, "Where are you from?" And they said, "Sweden." And I said, "What are you looking for?" And they said, "Well, where should we stay? And what is this place?" And I told them that it's Vrindavan, it's the place of Krishna's pastimes. And I suggested a few places, like a couple dharmshalas in the area that they could stay in. And so they thanked me and disappeared into the crowds. And about a week later, I had gone to Radhakund with Madhav Maharaj, and we were going there to do our Dandavat Parikram. And we had decided to go in the evening because it was very hot. And so we were just approaching Radhakund, and there were so many people coming out, millions of people coming out of Radhakund at that time, as Purushottam, 24 hours a day too, they didn't stop. But anyway, by Krishna's arrangement, just as we were entering Radhakund, I saw these two European guys, blonde hair, backpacks on, walking out of Radhakund. And they saw me and I saw them and we came together again. And of course now they, you know, we felt like kindred souls, and they said, "Hi, how are you?" And I said, "Where have you been?" And they said, "We went around that," I said, "the hill?" And they said, yeah, the hill. And then I said, "And you just came out from Radhakund?" And they said, "Is that what it's called?" And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "What is it?" And they said, "Someone told us to come here." And then we just followed the crowds. And it took them 6 hours to walk around. But they had come to Vrindavan not knowing what it was. Somebody in Delhi told them, "Oh, you should go there." So they took a cab. And then they came and they walked around Vrindavan. And I was thinking afterwards, the imperceivable, unlimited benefit that somebody would achieve just by coming to Vrindavan, not even knowing practically what it was. But anyone who comes to Vrindavan, we found, can feel the presence of Krishna there. And so it's important throughout this life to cultivate that attachment to Vrindavan. It's our actual home. Milpitas isn't our home, or San Jose isn't our home, but our real home is in Vrindavan. So we should hear about Vrindavan. We should visit Vrindavan whenever we can for pilgrimage. Go during Kartik if we can. These are important times in the Shastras. Go perform some extra vrat in Vrindavan. And in that way, Prabhupada showed the example. The ideal place to leave one's body is also Vrindavan too. Prabhupada went back there after his extensive preaching around the world and left this world from Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan Dham. But if we don't have that attachment for Vrindavan, if we don't cultivate it during this lifetime, then time of death or when we get the sign that we're going to leave our body, we also won't be attracted and we'll think, "Well, maybe I'll stay here, watch television before I die." So better, you know, we should begin now while we're young, relatively, some of us, and develop that attraction for Sri Vrindavan Dham. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Goprimanandi. So now we're going to chant the Namashtakam, 8 prayers glorifying the holy name, and everyone has a packet, hopefully. But yes. I know it's a great mystery, Vanamali, and you know, this is also the mercy of Sankirtan. Yeah, it's, you know, we don't know exactly what causeless mercy. When you say causeless, then you say, "Well, how can I understand that something causeless?"
He can do it.
Yeah, he can do it.
If anybody has performed any pious activities or not, he can just pick someone and bring them home.
That's true. Yeah, he can be picked out, and somebody can wander in, be in the right place at the right time. And, you know, in our Sankirtan today, as we're going out, you know, the mood of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda was to make people fortunate. That in a Kali Yuga, practically everyone's unfortunate. Manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya hupadrita. A very unfortunate time for spiritual life. That You know, people don't have time even for the simplest of spiritual duties in this age. Even as devotees, we see that. It's very difficult just to, you know, come together for some sangha sometimes. So, you know, sankirtan means to go out and make people fortunate. And it's the most miraculous thing. When we go on sankirtan, Lord Chaitanya will make all kinds of arrangements. And he'll send the most unlikely people to participate, to do seva, to give donations, to take books and so on. I was just at the Berkeley Temple on Thursday night, and we had a little sankirtan class there. As they're starting their own party over there, their own team. And so we got to near the end, for the last 45 minutes, we were discussing what we need. We need one of those machines like Venkatesh is holding so they can package their cookies. And we needed this and that and the other thing. And we said, well, we need somebody to bake the cookies. And so Mogalila's wife was there in the back listening, and she said, well, I'll bake the cookies, but I want a new oven. And I said, okay, Mataji, that's fine. And we kept talking. And so now about the prasadam, she said, I said I'll make the cookies, but I want a new oven. And so this homeless man had come in during the beginning of the talk, in the middle of the talk, and he was sitting there in the front. And, you know, he looked externally a little scruffy, I'd say, you know. And, you know, you might say he was living not in a palatial house, but probably on the street or something, and he was sitting there. So the second time she said that, and I said, well, we'll have to get an oven for her. And he said, okay, I'll donate a new oven. And I looked and said, great! So then we were all... We were all wondering, like, how's he going to come up with an oven, you know? And Raja Hamsa, the temple president, after the class, came up to me and goes, you know he's homeless, right? And I said, yeah, but, you know, he said he was going to give an oven. So we took prasadam, and then after prasadam, Raja Hamsa came up to me, and he said, it's happening. He's actually donating an oven. And I said, how? And I said, I don't know, but he's got credit cards and the whole thing. And so... And I was thinking, and someone said, what is it, Narada Muni has manifested or something? But the fact is that when we do sankirtan, wonderful things happen. Anything can happen. In Krishna's realm, it's the realm of unlimited possibilities. Like Rajagopal Prabhu was saying, that Krishna is Swarat, you know, he's independent, and his realm is independent. Sankirtan is an independent activity because it's not material. There's no material calculation in our sankirtan. It's completely under the control of the internal energy, which means anything can happen. So when we go out today, we're going out in that mood that we're taking shelter of the internal energy of Vrindavan, where anything can happen. And Krishna's making, you know, these arrangements in different ways for the souls. And the soul at any time can also, he's got minute independence. He can also become inspired by Krishna within the heart to change his mind. We've seen many times when we're presenting Krishna consciousness and people say, no, 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 no. And then all of a sudden they go, yeah, this is a good idea. I was in the underground with Jai Baladev in Houston last year, a year before last. And it was a very hard day. It was this underground area they built because Houston gets so hot and so cold they put the city streets underground so people can go to their offices there. So that's where we were working. And everyone was in a business mode, walking to work, and practically no one wanted to stop. So I kept trying and kept trying, and after about 40 minutes, this one businessman was walking along, and I said, Hari Bol Bhakta George. I said, excuse me, sir, and you know, he didn't want to stop. But somehow or other, reluctantly, he stopped, and we began showing him the Bhagavad Gita. And he goes, no, 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 I'm not interested in this. I'm really in a hurry. I'm really in a hurry. And then all of a sudden he said, oh, Bhagavad Gita? And he became more and more interested. And then there were a couple of devotees with me, and we gathered around. And pretty soon, after about 2 minutes, he was preaching to us. And he was holding the Bhagavad Gita. He said, do you know how valuable this book is? Well, let me tell you, this is the best book in the world. And he was telling us. And my mind was reeling because in 1 minute he was saying, no, no, I'm not interested. I don't want any of these things. And then 2 minutes later, his demeanor had changed, his face, everything, countenance, and he was preaching to us about the glories of Bhagavad Gita. He gave us $25. He took a Bhagavad Gita and a couple other books and went away. So in 1 second, things can change. And this is the divine intervention of Sankirtan, that Krishna can make all these arrangements. So we're going out as his agents, and we're distributing on his behalf and making these arrangements, and also our duty to find the nooks and corners of the universe. And Krishna is everywhere. He expands everywhere, but he says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu nami dvesha sunya. I won't interfere with the living entity's independence. We've come by our own volition under the control of the three modes of material nature. And Krishna respects that. He gives us our own independence to stay controlled by the modes. If we want the body of a hog, he'll arrange it. If we want the body of a demigod, through his external energy, he'll arrange it. And if we want to stay, he doesn't interfere with that. But in a way, he does through his devotees. He depends on his devotees to understand his actual purpose is that he wants every living entity to actually be engaged in devotional service and to come back to him. So he depends on his devotees to go out and interrupt people a little bit in their flow of being a hog or being a demigod or being a businessman and say, here, have a look at this. And so this activity is directly in line with Krishna's desire, and therefore it's under the control of the internal potency. And Krishna is directly observing and directing these types of activities when we go out for Sankirtan. So it's no ordinary activity. And it is directly connected with the mood of Vrindavan. Prabhupada confirmed this. As in the mood of Vrindavan, Radharani, who is the highest emblem of spiritual service to Krishna, her mood is that she's always bringing forward her associates to associate with Krishna. She wants to make arrangements for others to have the association of Krishna and to have the most confidential service with Krishna, and is making special arrangements. And in the spiritual world, everyone's making arrangements so that others can be elevated and pushed forward and have closer service to Krishna. This is the mood in Vrindavan. The mood in the material world is everyone stepping on everyone else in order to achieve some supremacy here. But it's the opposite in the spiritual world. So when we go on Sankirtan, this is the same mood that we want to bring people closer to be able to serve Krishna and be part of the spiritual world, come into Vrindavan again. So Prabhupada said, when one devotee wrote that there's one devotee preaching here that this Sankirtan is just like the Rasa dance and the mood of Vrindavan. And Prabhupada, is this correct? And Prabhupada wrote back and said, yes, this is correct. He has the correct idea, the Sankirtan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they were going out in this mood of audarya, of unlimited generosity, to give out to people the sweetness of Vrindavan and allow them an opportunity to take it up. And even a little bit of advancement that somebody makes, even if someone gives a little ash, Prabhupada said, you go door to door, the householders are having a fight inside. They're arguing. So the sadhu comes to the door. Who is that at the door? So we're busy fighting in here. Don't bother us, you know. Go check, see who it is. So he comes to the door. The man comes to the door and says, it's a sadhu. He's here. He's begging. And the lady of the house yells out, tell him to go away. In fact, give him some ashes. He wants some, give him some ash. So he goes, all right, here. And he takes a little scoop of ashes and he said, here's your donation. And he gives him some ashes. And so the sadhu knows Krishna's methods. He accepts it graciously. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Takes that ash, tucks it into his cloth, takes it back to the ashram, to the pujari, and says, here, today, clean the brass and the copper with this. So the pujari's in there polishing, and all of a sudden those householders, they're feeling their hearts are becoming purified. And then they come to some realization that, oh, we in our angry mood, we offended the sadhu, and they become remorseful. So 6 months later, sadhu's coming around again. Forgets he's been to this house before. Knocks on. Then they open the door. They recognize each other. And the householders, oh, please come in. We were so offensive last time. We gave you those ashes. We're so sorry. Please. You know, they're worshiping him. And they come in, and their service continues now. And so Srila Prabhupada said, just from this pinch of ash that they gave, because it's in we take it and we engage it in Krishna service. Now, gradually, they'll step by step, they'll go back to Goloka Vrindavan, just from that beginning. So this is our mood when we go out to distribute Krishna consciousness to others, even a little bit. You can watch Bhakti George. He'll take any donation from people. We were on San Francisco State University. I forget what it was. Somebody had, first I got there, and he said, look, here's my first donation. I got this CD. There was a student out there selling his hip-hop CD, you know. And so he said, well, I don't have any money, but I can donate one of my CDs. It's pretty valuable. And George said, yes, that is valuable. We'll take that. And here's your book, you know. And a little while later, somebody came by, and I don't have any money. He's like, you're chewing gum. Give me a stick of gum, you know. So he had all these things, you know. Besides Lakshmi and everything, he had a CD and a stick of gum and a cigarette lighter and all kinds of things that he used for his incense. So at the end of the day, he's reporting on the score. So many books distributed, so many Lakshmi points, plus one stick gum, one cigarette lighter, and one hip-hop CD. But that's the fact. You know, we should be then in that mood to see, this is our main purpose to go out, is to see how we can bring people closer to Krishna, engage them. And from that one stick of gum, from that one cigarette lighter, you know, then something is there. Neha bikrama nashosti pratyavaya navidyate swapamapya siddharmasya trayataye mohato bayat. And they become saved from the process of birth and death and gradually come back to Krishna.